I believe an impossible task to be critical in a situation when you're also choosing to be grateful in a situation.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. In this special holiday episode, Joe and Ed talk about generosity and the value of gifts that you can't buy. Merry Christmas.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. Today is our Christmas episode. We did all of our decorations back here. If you're watching on our video, you can see the reindeer and the little pine grouping. I don't know what you would call that. What do you think you'd call that, Ed?
I don't even know. There's cranberries, pine cones, and some trees.
It looks very festive, though.
It does.
Yeah, so if you're just listening to this, you should go online to see our Christmas decor.
It's not very impressive, to be honest. No offense to your staff, but it's...
The lobby looks good. It's just
the lobby looks great.
Yeah. In here is a little tough.
It's pretty much the minimal we could do to make this Christmas.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
So I am here today. My name is Joe. I'm here today with my co-host, Ed Newell. So we are going to have some fun talking about Christmas stuff today.
Yes.
Specifically... So our words that the podcast is based off of are adventurous, honest, passionate, healthy, and grateful. And this time of year, it just makes sense to talk about being grateful around Christmas time.
Yeah, and you know, when we got together, man, this was a few weeks ago now, the episode that was released, we were talking about heading up to Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And talking about Black Friday spending, you don't need more stuff. That was a previous episode we did. And to be honest, so much of it is applicable for me, I think, in as we just carry in closer to Christmas, because I love stuff so much and I continually want more things. And it is a continual challenge for me, or just a mindset that I have to continually put myself in, to choose to be grateful for the things that I have instead of always being more concerned about the things I don't have.
So you know what's funny to me is we like to think of Christmas, the Christmas season, as being the most generous and where you have the most gratitude. But typically, it's actually the most selfish time of year.
I feel that way personally. I haven't researched this, but I have heard that organizations that take in donations mm-hmm. tend to get more during the holiday season, because I think there is this spirit of giving, spirit of generosity that does permeate. And there's a lot of people out there that are not like us. We just happen to be similar.
Yes.
In the way that we are selfish. But there's a lot of people out there that would prefer gift giving.
Right.
As opposed to gift receiving. I am not one of those people.
But in general, and I know that there are tremendously, tremendously generous people out there.
Right.
And I do think, to your point, I do think that this time of year, organizations do get a lot more money. You know, a lot of organizations, volunteer and charity organizations, they make their whole year based off of what they get during the Christmas season.
Right.
So I 100% understand that.
I'm sure Salvation Army.
Oh, yeah.
This has to be, yeah.
But from a personal level, I have yet to meet a five-year-old who is like, you know, what can I give for Christmas? Like, right. They're all about, like, here's my list. Right?
Yeah, because I think that's human nature, right?
Of
it's like
it
we
is.
Want more stuff, and we life tends to be about us and what's going to make me happy today, what's going to make me, and whatever makes me happy today is probably not going to make me happy tomorrow. And so there's something new tomorrow.
Right.
And I want all the things that are going to make me happy.
Can I tell on myself a little bit?
Please.
So a couple years ago, my family, we decided instead of Christmas presents, we're going down to Disney.
Okay.
Right? So we drove down because, again, we were trying to save money. You know, there was a lot of us going down. You know, I have
big
four kids. You know, flying down would have been, you know, terribly expensive. So we drove down, which meant that Christmas Eve night, we spent in a Holiday Inn Express in like Macon, Georgia or something like
okay.
that, right? So, and we had this thing, you know, my wife and I had this thing, we're not buying presents for each other, right? So I didn't follow that, right? So Christmas morning, we wake up in a Holiday Express in Macon, Georgia, and we had gotten the kids something little that had to do with Disney. I can't remember, you know, some little trinket or something.
Got it.
And I had gotten my wife this little ring set. So it was for our three girls, and it was three rings, and you know, it was just
that's
a cute little thing,
yeah.
right? And my wife got me nothing. exactly what I asked for. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And again, nothing against her. Like, she was like, hey, we're doing this to save money. This is, you know, this is a big trip, big expense. We're not going to buy each other. And so she took me at my word. And I was like, you got me nothing? Like, and I didn't say that, but you know, you kind of have that, like, look what I got you.
Right.
You know, like, I'm waiting for the, like, where's your surprise?
Yeah.
You know, and nothing.
Yeah.
And again, I wasn't upset by it in any way. But you
this
have
is a
this,
little
like,
bit of a humble brag too, that you just kind of went above and beyond and were generous.
Well,
it's a little humble braggy.
I like it though. You like that? I didn't mean to come across that way. And my wife does listen to the podcast, so honey, this has nothing
you
to do with how
so
awesome
great,
I am.
Joe. You are just the best. I can't believe you.
But here's the tell. So I actually had to have this little mind shift where it's like, this isn't about me. Like, not this trip wasn't about me and all that stuff. But it was just that moment where you're just like, you know, I want something.
Yeah.
You know, I got nothing for Christmas that year.
Yeah.
And again, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
But it was just an interesting little bit of self-reflection as I was thinking about today's podcast where, you know, even with the best of intentions, you know, we still have this little selfish thing that we have to beat down all the time.
Yeah. And one of the most effective strategies, I believe, that you can do in order to kind of push down that desire is to choose to be grateful. When you choose to be grateful, when you choose to be thankful for what you already have, I really do believe it shifts your mindset. It shifts your way of thinking. Instead of on what I don't have, you tend to be thankful for what you do have. And it is, I believe, an impossible task to be critical in a situation when you're also choosing to be grateful in a situation. I think it's an impossible task to feel like I don't have what I need when you are actively choosing to be thankful for what you do already have. You can't do these things at the same time.
Right.
So while your mind is continually placing yourself in a position to be grateful for what you have, I think truthfully it overcomes any of the other desires or thoughts that you might be having in that moment. Now I say this while understanding that it's very, very difficult.
It is.
Because I can think back to times over this last month where maybe I've been upset about a situation, or maybe I want a certain thing. And I know these statements about gratitude are true, and I still can't actively choose them for myself because I'd rather want the thing that I want, or I'd rather maybe stew in my frustration about some situation.
You know, what's really interesting to me is the fact that for the most part, this is a United States, this is a wealthy country problem.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So you know, the countries that have the most seem to have this ungrateful attitude higher than any other places. You know,
yeah, that's
undeveloped countries don't typically have this problem. And you know, I've had a chance to travel a lot, and I was several years ago, I went to the Dominican Republic.
Mm.
And first of all, it crushed me, the amount of poverty that is in the Dominican Republic. So outside of the resort areas, the poverty is rampant.
Right.
I mean, it's literally the metal shacks with chickens running around, and that's what people live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to talk to some locals that live down there. And for people that don't know, the Dominican Republic is an island that is shared with Haiti. So you have this island, half is Haiti, half is the Dominican Republic. And Haiti is very, very bad, very poor, to the point where the Dominicans, who are, again, from our standards, terribly, terribly poor,
right?
They are grateful that they're not Haitians. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how bad it is.
Yeah.
But they have a joy in their lives that I just don't see in the U.S. I mean, they literally have, you know, like I said, I had a chance to talk to some of the people that were part of the trip. I was down there for business. Some of the people that were part that have been down there, and they have a certain amount of gratitude for everything that happens.
Yeah.
From, you know, the fact that they got a ride to work that morning. You know, we picked up a couple people that were going into the office where we were at. And I mean, it was, they were blown away that we stopped and picked them up. Like, oh my goodness, I don't have to walk 3 miles to work. And,
right.
And, but they're happy for that job.
Right.
So it seems like the more that we have, the likelihood of being ungrateful grows almost, you know, almost at the same rate.
Yeah. I saw a viral video on Facebook recently too, describing the exact same thing. And it was kind of a cute, funny video, but to try and get the same point across, to help you understand that you should be grateful for everything in your life and everything you have is you know, really a gift. These two parents woke up.
Oh, I saw this. This is fantastic.
And they're both in wrapping paper to almost say like, okay, my spouse is a gift. And then their kids run in and their kids are wrapped in wrapping paper. And it's okay, I'm grateful for my kids. And then, you know, he's getting in the shower and the running water has a bow on it. And he goes out to his car and his car's wrapped as if it's a new car, but it's just his car. And it's the whole concept of the video was be grateful for the things you have, because even the things that you have right now are tremendous reasons to be thankful for your life today, and you don't actually need that other thing.
Right.
And it was powerful. It's powerful. And there's something about there's something that happens, and I feel like maybe we actually talked about this in the Black Friday episode too, but there's something that happens. There's studies that have been done about choosing gratitude, that it actually can have the capacity to release certain chemicals in your system. Mm-hmm. One is serotonin, which is the happy chemical. It literally yep. will make you happy. And what's the other?
Cortisol?
No. The stuff whenever the chemical whenever you do something you enjoy. Dopamine. Yeah. So when you have sex, dopamine's released. If you're addicted to any drugs or anything that—
Wow, we just went PG-13.
Yes.
Okay.
Mark up the rating on this yeah. podcast. So dopamine gets released whenever you do these things you enjoy. If you like working out, dopamine gets released. Doesn't for me. Dopamine does not get released whenever I work out. But there's actually studies that have been done whenever you choose gratitude, dopamine and serotonin get released into your system. And imagine just scientifically what that does to your mindset whenever you are actively choosing it. So when I say you can't choose to be selfish and grateful at the same time, it's actually scientifically proven. Like, you just can't do it because of what the chemical release, the compounds that get released into your system. And so that continual choice of gratitude as well, if you find it difficult to be gratitude, you also have to be more intentional about choosing at the beginning, because you literally have to retrain your mind and retrain your brain in the way you think to value what you have when typically we don't.
Yeah, it's a habit that you have to get into.
100%.
And so it's just like working out. It's just like eating well, etc. It's a way of training your mind and your body to react in a way that you want it to, rather than the way that it's naturally wants
right.
to. Right. Your mind and body.
Yeah, exactly. These studies, the way that they went on to experiment, because these are actual scientific studies. There's dozens of them. You can Google it. They have obviously a control group and mm-hmm. a test group, whatever. And the way that they tested is they just really, really practically, they would do interviews with mm-hmm. people to try and get them to assess and talk about the things that they have in their life to be grateful for. They would encourage journaling, just writing it down. And if you don't want a paper and pen journal, you can just keep a note in your phone. Just talking out loud about it to somebody else. So going to somebody you love and trust, spouse, friend,
sure.
whatever, and talking about these things and actually speaking it out loud. All of these things were just really practical, functional things that I think if you find yourself in a place where you're finding it difficult to choose gratitude, you can just practice these yourself and say, okay, well, maybe if today, Christmas, I'm having difficulty choosing gratitude, I'm just going to make a commitment for the next few days, the next week, whatever you feel comfortable
with. The next half hour,
right. Yeah. Just write down the things that you're grateful for and see what happens to your spirit, see what happens in your mind in that moment.
You know, what's interesting, you had talked about saying these things out loud, and we half jokingly, when we were talking about the Black Friday one, about not spending as much, because we are both people that this is a challenge for us.
Yes.
This podcast, us doing this, actually does help me with the things that that we are trying to get across to the listeners.
Right.
So, you know, even the research and some of the prep that goes into talking about, you know, being grateful around Christmas, to me, I'm like, oh, wow, these are some strategies that I want to do in my life.
Right.
And talking out loud and making that commitment to everybody that's listening. You know, everyone that's listening.
The four people listening, we're thankful for you.
Yes. But you can hold us accountable for sure. If nothing else, like, I don't know if your wife listens, but mine does. But
I think she has. I don't know if she's listened every episode, but yeah. No, I agree. When you get into a situation where you're talking about it, it does something to yourself.
It does.
We're not only talking about it to somebody else might find it helpful, but actually we're teaching ourselves in the same moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have this all figured out.
No,
for sure.
Absolutely not.
So, I came up with a couple tips for the Christmas season as a way of being grateful, you know, around Christmas.
Got it.
And some of these are about, you know, ways to help your kids with this.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because that's a big thing. I mean, I'm a product of the way that my parents and the people around me brought us up. Same thing with you,
yep.
You know? And I know people who are tremendously gracious and tremendously grateful and I can point to their parents. Like, I've met their parents. I'm like, oh, I get it. I see why you are this way.
Right.
And again, not that my parents are selfish or anything like that, but we, we are a product of what our parents have instilled in us. Typically,
sure.
You know, it's something that we have to. Yeah, we have to acknowledge.
Right.
And so, you know, you have young kids. I still have teenagers and I have children that are now raising children. And, you know, Christmas is one of those. This could be a great learning lesson time for them.
Right.
One way or another.
Right.
So they're going to learn a lesson through Christmas.
Right.
So here's the first tip was to be intentional about changing the focus at Christmas time. So very human nature. Christmas is about me.
Yeah.
Right. Here's my list.
Yep.
Here's what I want.
Yep.
And even in some ways, here's where I volunteer and here's the feeling that I get when I volunteer somewhere or when I give. That's again, that's an interesting trap.
Hmm.
You know, I do things so that I feel better, even though I'm being generous. You know?
Right.
But changing the focus to, you know, this is how I'm going to be grateful for everything that I've gotten in the last year, or here's how I'm going to give back, you know, things like that. So
right.
Changing that focus is probably the key first step.
Yeah. So we're, my family and I were Christian. So when we wake up on Christmas morning, we actually, open the Bible. We actually read the story from the Bible and the Christmas story. For us, that is actually how we shift our focus.
Yep.
And it can be different for you or, you know, whatever. But, for us, the very first thing that we do is not, you know, run to the presents and open them.
Right.
So our tradition, my wife always makes like sticky bun, cinnamon roll things. We get our coffee, you know, kids eat breakfast.
Where did that come from, by the way? Because we do exactly the same thing. Like we do like the cinnamon rolls.
Well, that's from her parents. That was not, my family didn't do that. That was her family thing.
My family did it too. And now my wife does it every, it's a Thanksgiving morning and it's a Christmas morning.
That's tip number two, cinnamon rolls.
Cinnamon rolls. Yes. That's actually like 1B.
Yes. So we'll sit down and we'll read that story. And for us, making it about our faith, it does something for us because it shifts our perspective. It's not about the gifts. We believe that story teaches us gratitude and teaches what to be thankful for. So for us, we're starting off every Christmas morning trying not to lose sight of this day isn't about the more stuff we can get. It really, we want it to be a day where we can choose gratitude for what we already have.
Yeah. And for, you know, that focus could be, hey, this day, this morning is about family. Again, faith is fantastic.
Yes.
Right? I mean, but you know, this could be, look, we're getting here because the kids get to open up presents and all that stuff. But really the focus is about our family getting together. And the tradition that we have, and this is a way that we bond with each other, just one of those ways.
Yeah, and going back a month ago, I guess the Thanksgiving, a very common practice before you sit down to eat is to say what you're thankful for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you employed something like that on Christmas Day, I don't know a whole lot of people. I haven't heard that as common at Christmas time as I do around the Thanksgiving sure. table. But even just doing a practice like that with your loved ones, with your family, to say, hey, let's just look back maybe over the last 12 months. Can we say what we're thankful or grateful for this last year before we dig into all these presents? Right. Can we just take a moment, pause, and say, what are the things that we can actively choose? If we had no gifts, so we have nothing under this tree, what can we choose to be thankful for today? I think it does something. It'll shift your perspective.
Absolutely. So the second one is to rein Santa Claus in a little. You know, to, man,
we're all about this.
But the amount of credit card debt that Americans go into over Christmas is staggering.
Yeah.
It's absolutely staggering.
Yeah.
And a lot of studies show that people, it takes them 3 to 4 months to dig out of the debt they go into for Christmas. I mean, imagine that. Like, that's
tough.
Again, that's not a personal problem that we have. We don't like debt. So
yeah. Side note: budget for Christmas.
Sure.
You know, save money all year. To get ready for, you're gonna have an increase in spending at this time. But the Santa Claus thing is tough on a few levels, because you know, I feel like I've seen a ton of movement on Facebook around this issue over the last few years, where parents, maybe it's millennial parents, I'm not really sure, are like, no, Santa Claus did not buy you this gift. I bought you this gift with my money that I worked for, and I, you know. So there's like in that shift. Mm-hmm. I've also seen like a humanitarian pushback on social media. That's where people say, hey, we don't have a whole lot of money in this family. So when you tell your kid that their new iPad came from Santa Claus, and my kid did not get an iPad from Santa Claus, there's a disconnect there.
Yes.
On a humanitarian level, that really ends up hurting maybe a kid in a lesser income family. Debt. I mean, I think there's all kinds of reasons why we have Santa Claus in my house. I mean, we're mm-hmm. happy to, you know, celebrate the Santa.
Yeah, the fun part he represents. Yeah.
But there, I think there is some aspects of that, of the culture that Santa can create, especially in American society, that can perpetuate a whole lot of things that are the opposite of gratitude.
Right. And it's interesting, because my adult children who are raising children are 100% split with their spouses on Santa Claus, and which is
about
interesting.
Like,
whether or not they're going to teach their kids about Santa Claus or not. And so it'll be interesting to see how they manage through that.
Yeah.
Because I sit on both sides of the fence. I want the grandkids to, we did not do Santa Claus. So like my kids, my son told another kid in like Target or Walmart that there was no Santa Claus at like 3 years old.
Wow.
Like, yeah, your parents get you that. You know, there's no Santa Claus. It's not real. Like, so we were those parents, which I don't necessarily know if that's right or not wrong. But now that we're past that point, I want to see that magic in my grandkids. But I also do the humanitarian part of it, where you do go, look, you know, if you're middle class or upper middle class, you get a different type of present to Santa Claus. Comes in a different way,
right?
And is that the right lesson to teach, you know, your kids,
right?
Or is that you know, so
yeah,
it's tough. That's
and to a large degree, you got to navigate it on your own to what degree I guess you're going to do that, but I'm all for celebrating the fun of Santa Claus, provided that you don't fall into this trap of debt, you don't fall into the trap of maybe perpetuating, you know, just income level class differentiation, and also I want to celebrate family. If I get a present, you know, maybe the largest present we're going to give is not going to come from Santa. That's going to have mom and dad's name written on it. Okay, you better be grateful that I got you this, you know. Santa.
Yeah, the elves are not making the little four wheelers that.
Right. Exactly. Gotcha. Yeah, this is a 12 volt. It's not a 6 volt. Dad bought that.
So the third tip is to slow down the gift exchange. And this is something that we've always done.
Yes.
So somebody plays Santa's helper, you know, and goes around and you know, we do one gift at a time.
That's good.
So opening presents for us takes a very, very long time.
We do the same thing.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I really do. you know, instead of the shower of wrapping paper that just gets tossed up into the air, and then suddenly everything's open and everyone's like, wow, there, that was a lot of, you know, effort for very little time spent.
We didn't do that growing up, but in my family growing up, we separated all the presents, and then you went youngest to oldest, and the youngest opened all of theirs, and then my brother opened all of his because I was youngest, and then, you know, my mom, and then my dad, and which is fine, you know. But as a kid, there definitely was a little bit of like, it built anxiety in me, and it's like I don't like, especially as a young kid, I'm like, I don't really care about, like, let me just play with my things that I just opened or something. Especially I opened mine first, and then I'm looking at all my stuff while other people are opening. But it's fine. I mean, it was a fine tradition. But now we do the same thing. So everyone goes, takes turns, and there's not really a rhyme or reason for who goes next. It's just kind of like, oh, what's the next one on the tree here? And I think slowing it down, that's a really good practical way to say it. Just slowing it down. Just
enjoying that moment.
Yeah.
Those moments.
Right.
So.
And it allows you to celebrate with the person for whatever they got, actually be into their moment and what this gift potentially means for them. And then you get your moments every few minutes.
Right.
It's good.
So the next one is, well, just a quick comment on that one. I just thought about this.
Yeah.
My children, because they would go over and have to hand out presents to their siblings and stuff like that, I could watch them being strategic about what gifts they're giving so that it was almost like, I know that this one is underwear. You know, like you kind of do that like, oh, here's yours, you know? And
wow.
Yeah.
Diabolical.
They are. Kids are diabolical. I wish I raised better. No, my kids are amazing, but I wish that some of those things that I see in myself, because I would do the, if we did that, I would have done the exact same thing,
right.
You know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I wish that I had raised them better. So. Interesting.
I'll report back in like 5 years.
Yeah, we'll see how yours do.
Thing. Yeah.
All right, so the next one, the fourth one, create more Christmas experiences outside of gift giving.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and so you're the cinnamon rolls,
yep.
Right? That's a tradition that one day your kids will pass it on, and it's like, wow, this is just something fun that we did. And that's a very, very, very small one. But.
And that's something that we repeat. It could be a one-time thing. You going to Disney, I think, is something that will always be memorable. A few years ago, we went a local mountain resort here, our whole family went and did an actual horse-drawn sleigh ride up there.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, we still talk about that as like being such a special moment that happened at Christmas time. And we just reflect back on the time we got to spend together. It was about family, it was about relationships. And, you know, it when we reflect back on it, it helps us to be grateful.
And think about that. Do you have any clue what you got for Christmas that year?
Yeah, I have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that your brother and his family, no one has any idea, but you guys remember that experience rather than the gifts that you got.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that. Create experiences, make it more about the people you're spending time with instead of the gifts that you're giving. Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah, and along with that, trying to find some ways to serve other people through that. That's maybe a 4B, but that experience of going out and doing something for the Salvation Army, you know, doing, Meals on Wheels, you know, taking some meals to people that can't get out.
Absolutely.
You know, we did, my wife and I did something with a group of teenagers years ago where we went Christmas caroling at,
nursing home. Yeah. Operation Christmas Child is a pretty massive, large-scale thing where you can pack toys and they have this whole operation to ship it to kids around the world that aren't getting something.
My kids love doing that. Again, if you've never seen that before, go on Operation Christmas Child. It is a great way. You fill a shoebox with toys and you send it out. It's very minimal expense, but it's a great experience for your kids to have and teach them to give back, give to some kids that won't be able to open anything else this Christmas.
Yeah, and I've heard of other families. We haven't done this, and maybe we should, but I've heard of other families who you might do the same thing for a local family that they know, where they will take their kids to go and purchase gifts for another family's kids, and then they will actually go and spend time with them on Christmas and give gifts. So even that's an experience that's all tailored around what you're doing for someone else, which I think is great.
I do too. So last thing, and this is a much bigger topic, and our little sign says 99:59. So we've apparently talked for a very long time, but anyway, our ace crack tech team is getting our countdown timer, count up timer fixed. But I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for Nicholas, who makes the podcast happen every single week, even when it doesn't go as smoothly as he would like it to.
He does a great job.
He does do a great job. But make gratitude a way of life all year long. Again, this is a really big subject, and we will be talking about this as part of the podcast all year, because gratitude, it really does change you. To your point earlier, you cannot have gratitude and be selfish at the same time.
Right.
It's very difficult to be grateful for the things in your life and to be depressed at the same time.
Yep. This is good. I think if you're only choosing to practice gratitude one time a year, you're not really ever going to ingrain it into your way of being, into who
right.
you are. So, I think all these tips are really good to make sure that you don't lean so far into this holiday, the consumerism of this holiday, that, you know, that you definitely try to lean the other way with a spirit of gratefulness. But practice this all year round. And I think there are things you can do throughout the year to make your life just a little bit less about you and more about the people that you do life with.
Yeah. And as we're coming up on, you know, next year and, you know, people are trying to get into good habits, or at least have in their minds, you know, hey, this is something that I want to try to do better next year. This is a good time of year to start this habit.
Right.
You know, Christmas can be this line in the sand where you say, you know what, next year is not going to be about me. And
yep.
this is the season where I'm going to start that.
Yeah, that's good.
So anyway, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast. Ed, thanks for coming yet again. I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for you coming and doing this with me every week.
Yeah, I appreciate being here.
I just really like hanging out with you and getting a chance to talk.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, but if you guys know anybody that could use a little bit of gratitude this Christmas, pass on the podcast. And we thank you for being part of this. And we're so excited about what's to come here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.